Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Salaam alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems and questions that parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. The answer are based upon the book, Children in the Quran and the Sunnah, that's compiled by Ayatollah Ray Shahri. We have in the studio our guest speaker, Brother Miqdad, who's an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qom. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program, Brother Miqdad.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Quickly, let's delve into the question that we have. The question is, we have an opportunity to go on a vacation. We can either go to a nice resort or go for ziyarah. Is it beneficial for the children to go for ziyarah? And I have 3 children under the age of 10. Brother Miqdad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I guess it's a very tough question. Let me talk about the general aspect of traveling first. So family vacations or family trips are very important. I think we mentioned this previously as well. When we talk about the importance of family, one of the things that really bring people together is traveling together. And this is a general rule as well. Friends who travel together, they become much closer to one another, because often traveling and going on trips involves difficulties, it involves challenges, it involves moments where we have to be patient, where we have to control our anger, control our frustration, and help one another, trust one another. And all these things are challenges of traveling together. And it is these things that bring people together. So friends become very close to one another when they travel together. And similarly, when families travel together as well, it really brings them close to one another. And it doesn't always have to be a very long trip. Even driving half an hour away, an hour away to a very small place, just the fact that the family is together, doing things together, this really has a very strong impact. So, I mean, this parent, wherever they go, whether they go to this resort or they go to a ziyarah, It really is a positive thing. Going on a family trip is a very positive thing. It brings a lot of positive for the family. And obviously, it's one of the things that brings about experience in our life.
Yeah, definitely.
One of the things that we have this in Islam a lot as well, traveling across different towns and learning from the lessons that we find in different towns. Unfortunately, we've really removed learning from traveling. Sometimes our culture has become such that traveling is very much associated with entertainment. So you just travel just for fun. And sometimes it happens that you travel for fun, and this concept is so strong that even like religious rulings go out the window when you're traveling.
Yeah.
It's okay, I'll be a good Muslim at home, but when I travel, it's okay, we'll pray late, we'll eat whatever we want, we don't care because we're on holiday. And so we've really disassociated ourselves from everything when we're on holiday, whilst Islam has actually brought the opposite. So when you go on holiday, it's actually to learn. When you go on trip, it's actually for you to benefit from the culture, from the experience, from the history of different people.
On that point, Brother Miqdad, we'll just quickly take a break and be right back. Dear listeners, please stay tuned.
IRIB English Radio presents A Priceless Gift to Parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have 2 boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. and they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Dear listeners, welcome back. And we're here with Brother Miqdad. And we're talking about vacation and how it affects and how important it is in Islam.
So I think that's the positive point, basically. Learning from going on a family trip in itself and traveling in itself is very important. We learn from different things. Where we're going, we learn different cultures, different people, meet different, have different experience, etc. Another point I'd like to mention very quickly before we move on to the second topic, and that is traveling is often comes often with difficulties, whether it's standing in queues, long hours of wait at the airport, backaches after a long drive, for instance. These things are very good. They train us, basically. These challenges really train us. Now, it doesn't mean we have to go and put ourselves into it, but challenges in life, as a general rule, really build who we are. And for children as well, it's quite good that they face these challenges. Just recently, one of the scholars were mentioning that unfortunately our children don't see hardship in life, and this really makes them weak when they grow old. And we find nowadays the new generation of adults. A little bit happens and we go into depression, we go into a mental state, we can't endure a bit of challenges in our lives, whether it's a relationship, whether it's work, etc. And it's quite sad. I mean, our old, if you look at our grandparents and before that, they would endure a lot of hardships and really made them strong, not just physically, but also mentally and psychologically. And so I'm not saying that we should put our children in this kind of situation. I'm just saying that it's okay for children to face difficulties and hardship. It really builds them. I remember when we were young, we used to play so much until you get thirsty and you forget you're so thirsty. And when you realize it's time, it's finished, you can't play anymore because it's so dark, there's no light. And then you feel like, oh my God, I've been thirsty for the past few hours and I'm going to die right now. And unfortunately, nowadays, children, they get thirsty. They've got 3 bottles of water around their bags. They've got juice here. They've got enough money to buy the whole lunch. And they've got everything at their hands and the tip of the finger. And they hardly see any, they hardly go through any hardship. And this is something not very positive.
Don't you think the reason why they're not going through hardships is because they have too many distractions?
I think it's because we've made everything too easy, basically. And obviously, on one side, it's positive. I mean, to make life easier is positive. But we have to also understand that making things too easy makes us very, I don't want to say spoiled, but makes us very weak, basically. Yeah. We're unable to endure hardship. Because when we grow up like this, and then suddenly when a hardship comes, you feel unable to deal with it. Whether if it's a physical hardship or an emotional, psychological
shut
hardship.
Down.
Exactly. So, and you go into different things that try and relieve it. And so, now again, I repeat myself. This does not mean that we now stop giving water to our children or put them into hardship. No, it just means that we have to be happy to go through hardship, especially as a family. If you go on a family trip, for instance, then it's not a bad idea. If it's a little bit difficult. I'm saying this because sometimes you feel like, you know what, I won't be going to Karbala, for instance, or to Iraq, for instance, because the facilities are very poor over there. My child might get a bit hurt, for instance. He might get a scratch here and there, or we might have a moment of not finding our thing. I would like to say this, sometimes it's okay. No, it's okay to go through this hardship, bear it, sacrifice it. You've got a higher goal, basically. It's okay if the hotel is not a 5-star hotel, you get a 3-star hotel. It's okay if the bed's a bit not so comfortable. It's okay if the taxi drive is a bit longer. These things, these hardships are good to bear.
They build
They build us, basically. Especially because, and then you tell child, you know, we're bearing all these difficulties because we want to visit the Ahlul Bayt, for instance, because we want to visit the graves of the ulama. These things really has a strong impact.
On that note, Brother Mekhtab, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. Dear listeners, please stay tuned.
Ya muqiy al khayrat, ya muqiy al khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran."
Dear listeners, welcome back. We're here with Brother Mekhtab. Can you talk a little more about whether we should go for ziyarah or go to a nice resort for a vacation?
So, to answer, to come back to the question of the listener, to answer the question whether which one's preferable, let's just say that going as a family trip wherever we go is a very positive, as we mentioned. Now, I'd like to mention a bit more about going to visit the Haram of the Ahlul Bayt, whether it's in the holy city of Karbala or Najaf or Kadhimain or Samarra in Iraq, or whether it's Mashhad and Qum in Iran, or whether it's Medina and Mecca in Saudi Arabia, or whether it's Damascus, Sham, and Sayyidah Zainab, alayhi salam. Wherever we go, basically, there is obviously a very important aspect to this. And this is, we can look at it from different angles. I think one of the biggest angles we can look at is that these places are major symbols for Islamic culture and Islamic ideology, and our interaction with these places should be very, very strong. As an Islamic nation, as an Islamic ummah, we need to really strongly put across this idea that we have to have very strong relationship with these places. This doesn't mean we have to visit them all the time. Yeah. Obviously, it's financially costly for people who live on the other side of the world. It's at times not possible due to visa issues, etc., etc. But as an importance, we need to have it, basically. That these are places that are very important for us, for our religion. And they play the role of symbols of our religion. If today you talk about Karbala, for instance, the Haram of Abu Abdullah, alayhi salam, and you talk of Arba'in, right? If you talk of Arba'in, you talk of millions of people walking for 3 days to reach Arba'in, to reach Karbala. This is one of the biggest symbols, one of the biggest show of strength and unity and passion and all these positive traits that you can say about Islam and about specifically about tashayyu, about being a Shia. And so we need to be on the boat, basically. This is the boat. This is the boat that is going towards the zuhur of the 12th Holy Imam, right? This is the millions of people that are showing that of who we are and what is this religion and what has this religion brought to us in our lives. That this is the thing that we'll be ready to sacrifice because it brings us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the goal of humanity and the creation of Allah. And so we need to have very strong connection with these places.
Thank you so much, Brother Mekhtab. Dear listeners, thank you for joining us on the program. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us on our email, englishradio@irib.ir, or you can visit us on our website, parstoday.com. That's parstoday.com. Until another program, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. it's a complete way.